2 Samuel chapter 23. Let me pray. Lord, tonight we thank you for the opportunity we have to assemble here and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for these that have come out tonight to learn more of your word, to be encouraged by your spirit. And we pray tonight you'll challenge us and convict us and comfort us and whatever we need in our lives from the word of the Lord. We ask you now, Lord, that you might take thy servant, anoint him, give us the unction of the Holy Spirit. Speak to this people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I talked to a friend of mine this afternoon. He called me and to see about how Desi was doing. And I said, well, is it pretty dry where you're at? And he said, man, he said, it's so dry over here that the Baptists have started sprinkling and the Methodists was using a wash rag. So I thought, I guess that's pretty dry. Amen. It is getting pretty dry. Didn't have anything to do with what I was going to preach on. I just thought he's kind of humorous. But 2 Samuel chapter number 23, beginning in verse 11. And after him was Shemoth, the son of Agi, the Haragite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, for there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I want to talk to you tonight about something very important, I believe, tonight, especially in the days in which we live. Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians to that particular church, and he had already cautioned them and told them that God had established a church and placed within that church certain individuals, that they be not carried away with every wind of doctrine. And as he closed out the book of Ephesians, he tells them to take the whole armor of God. And after they've done everything else, he makes a statement. He said, after all of this, he just simply says, stand. And we're going to talk about a man here tonight who took a stand. Somebody tonight that we ought to really be aware of. Most of the time we've never heard of this individual. In chapter 23, we read some of the names and some of those who were David's mighty men of valor. And this is one of them this evening. And I want to say to you tonight that here was this man, and he took a stand, and he did something that you and I really need to do, especially in the day in which we live, because there's a lot of people being carried away with every wind of doctrine. They're tossed to and fro, and tonight they need some stability coming from the church tonight, coming from the pulpit, coming tonight from the Holy Spirit tonight to bring them stability in their lives and let them know what is the truth of the Holy Scripture tonight. Now, the first thing that I want you to see here in this passage of Scripture is the intimidation of the enemy. Now, we find that this man was here, and he was in the Bible says, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. I didn't really know what lentils was until I began to study the Scripture. And several years ago, I looked up that word, and I looked it up again this afternoon. And as far as I can determine, the best way that I can tell you what a lentil was, it was a pea. And basically what we're looking at here is a pea patch. They were in the midst of a pea patch. And I believe it was a pea patch that was ripe for the harvest. And as this pea patch begins to get ripe for the harvest, as they begin to get ready to gather those peas to put up for their food and to put food on their table to give them strength for their body, we find the enemy shows up to take charge and to take over. You see, the enemy of God wants to intimidate the people of God. He wants to intimidate all of us this evening, and that's exactly what a lot of people allow the enemy of God to do. He wants to bring intimidation into our lives. He wants to make us to do what we shouldn't do. He wants to make us tonight to flee the pea patch, as we'll see in a moment. And he'll appear to us a lot of times in a very personal way. He'll come to you and he'll come to me. He'll come and say, what is the use? He'll come to Brother Bruce and say, Why do you worry about studying to teach a Sunday school class? Probably nobody going to show up anyway. Tell Brother Ellis that. He'll look around and say, well, I don't know why you want to write all them plays and stuff, Teresa. Ain't nobody paying any attention anyhow. Tell the Sunlight Singers, you know, y'all not getting any national attention, any record deals. Why y'all want to just keep on going? Tell Amanda, I don't know why you plan all them things. Nobody really cares. He'll come into our lives. He wants to intimidate us tonight to keep us from working and harvesting in the field of God. That's what he's after this evening. You see, I have to get kind of personal so we can understand what I'm saying. I believe tonight we need to understand that God is speaking to all of us here in this passage of Scripture and showing to us here in this pea patch that all the labor that we put into it tonight, we need to not run away from it. But he wants to intimidate. He wants tonight to make you tonight see and think that there's no use in working for the Lord. He'll come to us tonight collectively as a church. You know, you say, man, y'all stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. You think about that. We really are, aren't we? I'm not being ugly. I'm part of the church, and I love this church. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Y'all stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. What good are you doing? Why do you even have services? What good's it doing anyhow? Won't you just shut the door and quit and go home? Why do you even want to preach to them people? Why do you even want to pray? Why do you even want to do anything? You want to just quit, be absorbed by one of these bigger churches. You could have a lot bigger ministry if you'd do that. Oh, you could do, everybody could do a lot more because they'd be involved. You're never going to accomplish anything out in the middle of nowhere. The devil wants to intimidate us. He sees tonight the peas are about ready to harvest. If I read into this correctly, and I hope that you understand what I'm saying, is that evidently if these peas were growing, they'd been the land had been broken up. The land tonight had been planted. The land had been cultivated. They took care and put a lot, great deal of labor into this pea patch, and it was about ready for the peas to be harvested, to be used for the nourishment of their bodies. It was about time the harvest was done. And that's when the enemy showed up. You see, about the time you think tonight maybe everything is going to be good, then that time when the enemy will come up and begin to try to discourage us. That's the first thing he wants to do. He wants to discourage me, and he wants to discourage you. He wants to discourage the church collectively tonight and say, I don't know why we even worry about anything anyway. Let's just go get it over with and go back home and watch TV and do over our jobs and just have a good time. Why in the world do we even worry tonight about that? Don't worry about it anymore and just be discouraged in the work of God. That's what he wants us to do tonight. The enemy is an intimidating force. And as I read this, it said they were gathered together into a troop. I understand that. You know, that'd probably be very intimidating tonight. I mean, here was a bunch of farmers out in the middle of a field, and a troop of soldiers come up with all kinds of weapons and tonight all kinds of training, and they were fierce and ready to do battle. And you see, the enemy will come to you tonight in great intimidation, bringing enormous numbers against you, and just continue with a flood and try to make you look and see tonight how bad it is, and say, you need to quit. You need to quit. The enemy wants to intimidate you, and he wants to intimidate me tonight. He wants to intimidate us as a church so we won't do anything for the Lord. You know, the sad thing tonight, in many places the enemy does that. The enemy tonight has intimidated people, and they're doing nothing for the Lord. They're doing nothing for God. Many churches tonight are doing nothing for the Lord. They've been intimidated by the enemy. Thank God tonight, it doesn't have to be that way. You see, the Bible says the people fled. The people fled. People just took off. I mean, they just took off a running when they saw them coming. I'm not going to be too hard on them yet. The people fled. That's what the devil wants us to do. That's what the enemy wants us to do, is flee. He doesn't want to fight. You know why he doesn't want to fight? I'll show you in a minute. But he doesn't want to fight. The enemy wants you to flee. He wants you to take off. He wants you to not work for the Lord anymore. He wants you to get to say, I'm just going to sit down and quit. I'm not going to do that anymore for whatever reason tonight. you're discouraged. Maybe you get irritated. You get angry. People have all kind of different reasons tonight, but it all goes back to that, the devices of the devil coming into their life and trying to get them to quit working for God. And the people fled. They were intimidated by this enemy. Now, here was a man. The Bible said he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He said, you ain't getting my peace. I done worked too hard in this pea patch. I done put out too much sweat and too much labor. I'm not leaving this pea patch, not without a fight. The Bible said he defended it. You see, that was the decision that he made. You see, we have to make those kind of decisions. Somebody said, boy, he must have been a mighty courageous man. Well, he was. But I think sometimes we have a different idea of what's courageous and what's real bravery tonight. You see, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know tonight if he was going to be killed. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he made a conscious decision. He said, I'm not leaving this pea patch. I wonder what he thought when everybody else left. Maybe I ought to went with them. I was thinking as I read this, you know, before Gary was and Stacy and Holly were off one Sunday afternoon. It had been raining a little bit, and they were trying to teach Carrie how to drive, and she pulled out and hit the gas instead of the brake and had a little fender bender, and nobody was hurt. And, policeman came and gave her a ticket for having no driver's license and had to go to court. And I went to court with her, and I was standing there, and the police chief came, and he said that, he was talking to me, and he said, she got any driver's license? And I said, no. He said, she's never going to be able to get any driver's license, you know. And I talked to him a minute, and he said, well, just wait here a minute. So he went in the little courtroom, and he came back out in a few minutes, and he said, I talked to the judge. Everything's okay. You can go. We got in the car, and I said, well, baby girl, were you scared? And she was sweating, and she said, Daddy, I thought my heart was going to jump out of my chest. And I thought about this old boy here. He's standing here and everybody else is left and he sees all these folks. I bet his heart was about to jump out of his chest. You know, sometimes tonight, bravery is not fearlessness. Bravery is doing what's right irregardless of what might happen. Now think about that. Bravery and standing for right is about doing it irregardless of the consequence. We may be afraid. But Paul said stand. He didn't say we wouldn't be quivering. He didn't say tonight that we wouldn't be terrified. I know we ought to have the peace of God. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about tonight. You make that conscious decision. And, you know, you look out here and you see all those folks about ready to come at you and everybody else has fled and left you. And he said, I'm not leaving. These are my peas. You're not getting them without a fight. All right, that's a conscious decision to do what you need to do. That's what we have to do. Sometimes folks will say, well, you know, if you do that, then you're sure enough digging your own grave. I remember a friend of mine said when he went to Bible school for the first time, and the first thing they told him in seminary was, and after they had them all get up and preach a little sermon for about 10 minutes to see how they preached and so forth, and said, professor called him over and said, son, I'm going to tell you, if you preach like that, you can't go around a lot of circles. And I said, well, Bob, what did you say? He said, well, I told him I wasn't going in circles no how. I was headed to heaven. But that's the way it is a lot of times, folks. We have to make that conscious decision. Well, preacher, if you preach on this, people are not going to come hear you. Well, if it's scriptural, I can't help it. Well, you know, church, if y'all keep letting him preach like that, nobody will come hear him, and everybody will leave. then you have to make that conscious decision. Now, Bruce, if you teach like that in Sunday school, ain't nobody going to come. But you have to make that conscious decision, irregardless, tonight. No matter what takes place, we've got to make that conscious decision that we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. And we're not going to let the enemy intimidate us and run us out of the pea patch that we worked and labored so long for. I don't know what the Lord has for us. I know He has great things for us. Don't misunderstand that. But, you know, I look around and sometimes you wonder. But have you ever thought, one of these days we may reap a great harvest. But we got to stand in the pea patch, haven't we? We got to keep doing what the Lord asked us to do. We got to keep preaching and teaching and writing and singing and praising and just doing what the Lord asked us to do. And say, we're not going to quit. We don't care what the enemy. We don't care about the intimidation of the enemy. You know, Job said, even though he slay me. And I can't tell you tonight what will happen. I want to show you something in a minute. I'll show you why I believe that this man stood. And why that he was a courageous man. And why we should have great courage tonight. But you see, the devil wants to intimidate us, and we have to look and say, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in this situation? Are we going to let the enemy intimidate us and make us quit on God? Or are we going to continue to do what God wants us to do, irregardless? That's what this man did. And he stood in the midst of the ground, and the Bible said, and defended it. Not only stood, he began to defend it. You know, you think about, here was this group coming against him, this troop coming. I don't know what he had, but I got to thinking about the pea patch, and he probably had a hoe and might have had a couple other farm instruments there that he used. And he grabbed him up and went to wailing away. And the Bible said he slew him. That's what he said. Notice what he said. And he defended it and slew the Philistine. He just grabbed up his implements and went to wailing away. Somebody says, you know, we can't be that way. You know, sometimes we not only have to stand, we have to defend. It's what Jude said, we have to contend for the faith. We have to defend the pea patch that we're in. He defended it. Now notice the last thing, we'll be through. I don't want to take a lot of your time tonight, but it's very important. And the Lord wrought a great victory. That's why he was courageous. It wasn't because tonight he was maybe such a brave man. I don't know much about him. But it was because he knew the Lord could bring the victory. You see, now that's all we got to worry about. If we're standing for the Lord, then the scriptures tell us the battle's not ours, it's the Lord. And he's going to fight the battle for us, isn't he? You see, he defended and slew, but the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. So when we're doing what God asked us to do, the Lord's bringing the victory tonight. You see, victory belongs to the Lord. If I do something, it can be undone very quickly. But if the Lord brings the victory, it's done forever. You see, I really can't do much in my own strength. I can't do very much tonight in my own power. But if I'm willing tonight to stand in the pea patch, I'm willing to defend and contend for God. I'm willing to do whatever God asks me to do. Then as Paul said, the Lord be for us, who can be against us? We'll be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing tonight can stop us. And the Lord will bring the victory. I've heard a great deal through the past several years, and one of the things I constantly hear is about church growth. And I'm not against church growth. Wouldn't bother me if we had people standing, we had to bring in chairs, we had to do whatever was necessary. But can I tell you tonight, that's not our goal. Not my goal. I hope to see people saved and baptized. Don't misunderstand that. But that's not our goal. This past week was the Southern Baptist Convention in New Orleans. And they wanted to make a name change because people wouldn't come to a Southern Baptist church. Wanted to change the name. I thought, well, what's the goal anyway? You see, the goal tonight is not church growth. The goal tonight is seeing people saved by the grace of God so that God will be glorified. And I wish the church would fill up, so please understand that. But not so that we could say, well, look what Rocky Springs did. Because people could say, look what a great God Rocky Springs is God. The God would bring the victory. You see, if I go out and produce church growth through programs and all of the things that people are suggesting we do, when the programs is gone and the other things are gone, the people will be gone. But when the Lord adds to the church, and God brings the victory, guess what? They'll still be here because God's going to work. God's still going to be here. And that's the goal for all of us tonight should be, that we might glorify the God that saved us so that others tonight might know Him and glorify Him for what great things He's done for us as we sang in the song a few moments ago. And God brings the victory. You see, it's not about what I've done. Not about what you've done, except we were willing to do what God asked us to do. And then God brings the victory tonight. So I'm going to kind of be like this fellow here. I decide I'm going to stand in the pea patch. I believe the church will stand in the pea patch tonight. And we're not going to quit on the Lord. And I feel sure the devil's going to try to intimidate us. But tonight, if we'll stand for God, we'll see the victory the Lord will bring us one day. All right. You stand with me. Brother Bruce and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time we're together. I ask You to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.